Do you enjoy FilmSack? Oh, you do? Well, then good. I have a way for you to support the show and other shows like it right here on the Frog Pants Network by going to patreon.com/frogpants. Even a dollar would do. Imagine the sheer amount of content you get for a dollar a month. Anyway, consider supporting us today at patreon.com/frogpants.
Hey, Billy, you pulled it off. I never would have believed it possible.
Well, Kirk Benchley proves once again, without faith, good deeds are dead.
Hey, kiddo. You gotta take a few pounds off there, huh? Come on. I want to show you something. Have you looked across the street this morning?
God, I'm a handsome guy. Look at that.
This is FilmSack.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I don't know what happened there. Hello, everybody. Hello, white men from town. This is Scott Johnson. This is FilmSack, episode 338, Mining the Very Depths of Film Entertainment for All Mankind. Welcome to the show. We are here to do it. My name is Scott Johnson, like I said, and joining me is Brian. I totally thought we were watching Scanners Dunaway.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. When I heard we were doing another Stephen King film for FilmSack, I got pretty excited. Needless to say, I was in a hurry to get home Friday so I could consume this movie, so I stopped by 7-Eleven and picked up some chicken tenders and grabbed a couple of scratchers. Then on the way out the door, I pulled out a quarter and started scratching. That's when I accidentally bumped into an old gypsy woman. She said for a quarter she could tell me my fortune and pull up her skirt. I said, I'll take the fortune, Grandma, but I'm not interested in seeing your man cave. So she snatched my quarter and grabbed me by my scrot and whispered, winner, winner, chicken thinner. I was like, holy crap, how'd you know that?
Oh my
gosh. She leaned in real close and whispered, I follow you on Twitter, white man from internet. Turns out she was just a bag lady with broadband.
Nice. That was a really good one. Well done. Also with us, Randy. Seriously, I thought this was Scanners. This isn't Scanners? Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Randy.
Did I ever tell you boys about the time I practically invented the exciting new field of gypsy campsite design?
Mm. Gypsy camp.
True story. We were the company that worked for the common gypsy at low, low, incredibly low, so please don't put curses on us prices. We had three guiding principles.
Whoa, sorry.
Number one.
Okay, keep going.
You're going to want to build fires everywhere in your campsite. You don't want just one big fire. You want fires between your trailers, fires lower down into the ground where they can't do nothing, and little fires right next to big fires. You might ask, why not put the wood from the little fire on the big fire that's a few inches away? But remember, no questions when the curses are flying. Number two, spread everything way out. Measure distances with a slingshot. Put your guard dogs in cages over yonder. Don't worry about them. They're guarding the inside of each cage ruthlessly. Number three, gypsies like to move on at a moment's notice. So you design that camp with the getaway potential of them mobile homes in mind. This is so important that we put it right in the name of our company.
What's the name of your company?
Right.
Roma where you want to.
Well done.
We went a long way today for our intros, and I like it.
We have. Plus, I've got Nintendo Finger on the soundboard. I've got to calm myself down. I don't know what's wrong with me. Anyway, finally with us, Brian, we should totally watch Scanners Ibit.
I'm sensing a theme there.
Yeah.
You three have run over my daughter with your concept car on loan from Charlie Sheen. That's a callback.
Yeah.
I won't say what you were doing in the car, but it's clear your eyes weren't on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You, white man from Utah. Never gambled. Never had a drop of alcohol except for that one time in Mexico. I'm going to curse you the only way I know how. By touching your face and uttering the word sinner. Now, every vice, gambling, drinking, and butt touching will be yours for the rest of your life.
Wow.
You, white man from Orange County, you've been playing a mage in World of Warcraft for as long as I can remember, but I'm going to curse you too. I'm touching your face and uttering the word skinner. Now you're going to be a hunter and you'll have to fight over tanning the hides of every animal you kill in dungeons and raids. And don't think I've forgotten you, white man from South Carolina, with your mice scrout and your Flash Gordon Mingo phone and such. I'm going to utter the word dinner. I'm hungry. Mm. Make me some ribs with some extra barbecue sauce. And nice. don't forget the whipped cream, just how I like it.
Oh my gosh.
We need a whipped cream index for bad movies.
Oh my god, it's a lot of whipped cream in this film.
By the way, was the white man from town written with whipped cream on the
Yes.
Yeah, what was that?
Oh, the car, okay.
Yeah.
So they got like Ready Whip and they just went.
Yeah. Yep. The gypsies went to a store and stole a bunch of Ready Whip.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, you're right. That was like that or shaving cream or something like that. Yeah.
You've got to think about every question you might have in this movie that starts with, "Mate, how did this happen?" Mm-hmm. You got to answer with, "A gypsy went and robbed a store."
Yeah,
That's the beginning of that answer.
Yeah.
How did Stephen King end up in this movie?
No kidding.
A gypsy robbed a store.
Yeah, gypsy robbed a store. You guys went deep on your intros. I'm well done, by the way. Yeah. That's impressive stuff.
We're out of time.
Yep, we're all out of time. See you next week.
Well, we don't really want to talk about the actual movie.
Yeah. Can I say this before the movie's
so bad that it makes you want to watch The Wraith.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of wanted to rewatch The Wraith. I'm going to say this, and I mean this with all my heart. My intros, they seem like there was a little bit of theme there with Scanners. Right. I literally believed that this was what Scanners was. I thought that's what we were watching. And in my head, Scanners and Thinner, I didn't know there was a 1996 film called Thinner. I didn't know. I had no idea. It was about a fat guy that became thin, and that was his curse.
So wait, you never read the Stephen King book?
No.
I never did.
Yeah, from the 80s, it was the book was interesting, just like this movie was interesting.
Yeah, when I started it, I went, wait, this isn't like the late 70s, early 80s, and these aren't people exploding on camera or whatever the deal was with Scanners. Like, I have Scanners and Thinner completely mixed up, and I don't know why.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Right up until I'm watching
it. Is it the cover box? Is it the cover art? Is this messing with you?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Scanners poster.
Oh, could be, because it's like Michael Ironsides with his eyes rolled up in the back of his head, and then this one has main dude kind of with his eyes all goofy, skeletonized.
All of that may be part of it, but part of it is just straight up, to me, there's only one movie, and there was never two movies, and in my head, it was going to be a bunch of people exploding or whatever Scanners is about. And I actually know. I don't really, I've never
we
seen
do need, we do need to watch Scanners.
I thought we did. Did we not watch that Scanners for Film Sack Carl?
No,
we did. We totally did.
Are you sure
the
we
ending
didn't?
Was looking like a body switch thing where,
We
totally watched it for Film Sack.
Wait a minute. We've seen, this makes it worse. We've seen Scanners?
We've seen it within the last 6 months.
No way. Not for Film Sack. I'm searching Film Sack's history.
Yeah, I'm looking too. I don't see it.
What?
I don't see it.
Right?
What was the movie? Well, what was
did
the
we
movie
watch
where,
that was so similar
yes,
to it?
Yes, we totally watched it because I swear to God, you're right. I can't find it in our history, but. Not.
There were like something a lot like Scanners.
Yes, no. Michael Ironsides was having a fight with the guy at the end, and that guy put his essence into the other guy's body when they fought. The place was on fire, and their veins were popping up. We did watch this.
Okay.
I watched it. Why?
I'm looking. Why listen, I'm look. I'm doing a search right now of the RSS feed, which has got episode 01 all the way up through today.
Right?
There's no Scanners in there.
Could you be thinking about? I mean, we've seen a lot of Michael Ironside. We saw him in Total Recall, Starship Troopers, Top Gun.
Yeah.
Like, could it just be false memory?
I don't know.
I totally remember Michael Ironside's making that like gestury arm thing and his eyes rolling up in the back of his head. Wow. Why?
By the way, I couldn't watch for Rick and Mentals, did I?
No.
Because we talked about it.
I don't know.
I love that you're pluralizing his last name as though he has sides of iron.
Right, well, wasn't there a courtroom drama with Raymond Burr in the 60s called Ironsides?
Yeah, Ironsides, right. Which starred Michael Ironside. No, it didn't star him. But, no, see, wow. That's the funny thing is this Scanners is a weird deal. You think you've seen it. I thought it was this movie. Like, we have to see Scanners so I can get it. I can flush it. Okay. Like, mentally, all there's right. a block going on with Scanners, and it needs to go away.
It's 15 years older than this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, it's David Cronenberg. We would have talked a lot about Cronenberg's oeuvre.
Yeah.
Like, I just, I don't know.
Oh, I finally saw Eastern Promises, by the way, speaking of Cronenberg, just real quick. Quick mention. If you want to watch... you want to watch the King from Return of the King roll around naked in a bathhouse.
And you've already seen A History of Violence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if you want to see his wiener out, there's a good chance of that. Anyway, I love that
in two consecutive movies, Cronenberg directed Viggo Mortensen, mm-hmm. and both of them right. are hard to watch. Yeah. They're both like challenging movies.
They really are, but I really liked Eastern Promises. I thought it was awesome. Yeah. And there's a sequel, I guess, being made, which is crazy. But anyway,
what would that be called?
I don't know, but I don't know what took him so long either. Like usually sequels are right away and this thing's forever later. So I don't know what's going on. Although I guess we just got that Trainspotting sequel, which is kind of nuts and great. I heard, by the way, I heard that's really good. But anyway, Scanners, Scanners. Sorry. See, I'm going to do this all day. Thinner. Thinner is the deal. It's the Stephen King novel. He did it under the name Richard Bachman at the time. He's in this. He plays a druggist or a pharmacist.
Yeah, and he's in a lot.
Yeah.
You would expect a cameo, but no, he had a freaking role.
Yeah, he had lines and stuff. He said words, which is weird.
Right.
It was written and produced and directed and co-written by Tom Holland. Who is known for a guy? Yeah, he's done a ton of things. But,
Spider-Man.
wrong no, Tom no, Holland. No, yeah,
right.
He's known for being 16 years old.
Right. He was the writer on Fright Night, which I love. Writer on Child's Play. He's done a lot of great horror stuff.
Yeah, the remake Fright Night is his deal as well. He helped with that.
Right. Right.
I feel like. Michael McDowell is the other credited writer, screenplay writer for this movie, mm-hmm. and I don't feel him anywhere. He's you know, the person who screenplayed Beetlejuice and Nightmare Before Christmas, and it doesn't feel like that at all. It feels like a Stephen King film.
Yeah.
He's also, you ever seen any interviews with Tom Holland? He's really interesting fella.
He's also an actor. He's been in tons of stuff, not just directing and writing, but it was in, you know, Stephen King stuff like The Stand. He was a big Stephen King guy. He directed The Langoliers for TV as well as acted in it.
Oh my gosh.
It's not good.
Talk about a pile of crap.
Yeah, it's not good. And I'm going to say it out loud right now. This movie here, this Thinner deal, not good. It's kind of a hot piece of shit.
I'm going to disagree.
Child's drawing of a Stephen King book.
I actually enjoyed Thinner. I saw it at the theater back in the day. Right. And this is probably just nostalgia talking because I literally was waiting around through the entire late 80s waiting for a good Stephen King adaptation. And this was probably one of the more fun adaptations that came along.
As close as we got, you're thinking.
Funny because for me, it still felt like it was in that Creepshow, Maximum Overdrive. There was that range of Stephen King adaptations that all kind of felt like this very two-dimensional. Here's the setup. Here's the punchline. And they kind of all felt like Twilight Zone episodes when they were adapted into films, right? I mean, it was like
I enjoyed it.
There's also like course, a Tim.
Like,
there's like
I
a
like
Tim.
Overdrive
there's like a Tim Burton quality to everything. It feels very Tim Burton-y, and not in a good way. I just mean in sort of a like a shocked faces and jaunty music isn't this weird? Like it just isn't. It just doesn't work. Like the straight up that style of Stephen King adapting is crap. You could make this today and it'd be really good. The book I understand is really disturbing and great.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's no
reason.
It has
a different ending.
Yeah.
The idea is so It's just so appealing to me. Yeah. I like the whole idea.
Yeah, the curse thing is great.
Has
potential. Yeah, I agree that it's a fantastic concept. I just don't know what could have ever been done with it to make it very entertaining. I read the book.
They spent $14 million on this movie. Come on.
That's twice what Star Wars cost. Just throw it out
there. And a good portion of that was making a pie pulsate.
Yeah.
Right.
I think because they shouldn't spend it on fat suits.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing. I was thinking about when you brought up other Stephen King made movies. I was thinking about, well, what makes a movie like Maximum Overdrive so much fun? Well, the music video parts and the crazy trucks part, you know, and so on. Like it has this sense of fun that this movie never once even touches. There's never a moment in Thinner where you're like, oh, that was cute.
Yeah.
It never.
Right. Yeah. Well, but let's compare it relative to other body horror films.
Okay.
I mean,
like Saw, you mean?
Yeah. Saw, Centipede, The Fly, Extends.
Yeah.
Those kind of movies.
You mean Existence.
Extends.
Extends is the medical supplement that they advertise.
Extends actually worked. That would be some body horror now, wouldn't it?
That's awesome. But no, you're right. This is a body horror movie. It didn't click with me, but it's one of those that we keep talking about where it's all about, I mean, in his case, they were supposed to go a little further. I guess the trivia talks about he was going to at one point have, you know, sort of flesh just hanging off his bones and it was going to be real gross, and they decided it was too gross. I think they should have kind of gone full Naked Lunch on this one, just go all the way and not, you know, beat around the bush, because some of the effects were cool, like the guy with the lizard skin condition that picked him up in the dream or whatever. That's badass.
I really wish that wasn't a dream, because I thought this movie had took a From Dusk Till Dawn kind of turn.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is just going to turn into an action film, and it's going to be awesome. We're going to have a lizard judge dispensing judgment.
Yeah. Squirini.
Instead, the movie never wanted to go all in on anything. Like, as soon as you find out that the character who had been cursed with leper, find out that he looks horrible, he kills himself. That's it. Yeah, like the movie's like, okay, now we're done with that. And you're like, no, I needed him to be one of the people who attacks the gypsy camp. Like, that would have been really interesting.
You know what was hard about that whole scene is the guy who plays that character from Seinfeld.
With the mole on his back from George's company.
He's recently famous for he had a cancer diagnosis and decided to end his life, put a gun in his mouth and misfired and shot like half his face off, but survived. And all I could think about, and then he eventually died, but like years later. But all I could think about during that was like, oh my gosh, what a weird foretell. I hate when movies do that when an actor ends up in a role that does a thing that ends up mirroring their actual tragedy. I hate that. Ugh. Anyway, that's all I could think about there, which is unfortunate. And that's all I can think about when I watch Seinfeld. I'll see a Seinfeld episode, and he's like, yeah, George, I don't care. Do whatever you want. You know, like, whatever. And I'm like, this poor guy.
I've had that mole on my back since I was young. Look, here's a photo of me with that very same mole.
Exactly. He has a cancer scare there. Anyway,
What do you think was the turning point for Stephen King adaptations? Like, you know, between things like Dead Zone and Christine and Firestarter, where did it start? Where did the gears start matching up and kind of catching?
Stand by Me.
But I think it's all spread out, because this movie is 96, right?
Yeah.
Same year as Stand By Me.
Yeah. Okay. So, same year as Stand By Me. Shawshank.
86.
Right?
86. No. Yeah. The movie was, go ahead.
Yeah. The Stand By Me was 10 years earlier.
This is 96 though. Yeah. 96, 2 years after Shawshank, 3 years before Green Mile.
Right.
You can find good Stephen King all over the place. It's just maybe a lot of his lesser work.
Shawshank.
Yeah, look at that shitty sandwich that is. You've got this amazing Shawshank. You've got this really bad piece of meat in the middle, and then you've got this amazing piece of bread on the other side called Green Mile. That's sad. That makes me sad.
I don't think so.
Well, look, here's what happens when good filmmakers get a hold of Stephen King stuff. Great things happen. That's the only trick.
When they get a hold of his better works.
I think it's ridiculous to compare stuff like Shawshank Redemption and The Green Mile, which were huge budget movies with huge marketing and, you know, lots of money to play with.
And also, whereas Supernatural.
Yeah, this had like our leading man was Robert John Burke. I mean, which is fine.
The biggest star in the whole thing. Well, two biggest stars are Joe Mantegna. Oh, Joe Mantegna. Kerry, yeah. Kerry Wurr.
He was your stand-in.
This movie was right on point for what it wanted to be.
He was your stand-in. He was stand-in RoboCop in RoboCop 3. He was your new RoboCop as well. So that's what you know him from. He has Batman voice, and he's kind of annoying. But here's what I'm going to say about the whole thing.
I'm gonna
resist any ideas that you can't take just about any story, Stephen King or otherwise, and in the right hands, make something good out of it. I mean, yes, it needs to be well written, but if the source material's there, something like this, Cujo, whatever, can be done right. Although I think we all agreed Cujo was better than it deserved to be. It was actually pretty good. But like you can take any Stephen King work, I believe, and make something great with the right filmmakers. So when you take Frank Darabont and say, yo, make Shawshank Redemption, you get one of the greatest films ever made.
Right.
And then I
disagree with that because for example, the differences between Shawshank and this are just outrageous. Like there's so many interesting characters that you want to get to know in Shawshank. And in this movie, all you're doing is waiting for every single goddamn one of them to die. Yeah. Like every one of them,
they're all evil, right?
Yeah, but everybody, it's also, but this is bad. All. You hate everyone, and I hate every character in it. So I totally get your point. I'm just saying that you could make for what it's meant to be, for what that story is supposed to be, which is this brain play about what would it be like to be cursed to be just continually thinner, and all these other people deal with their stuff, and the pie and the whatever. And you could take that and make it for what it's supposed to be. You could way better fill its shoes. Sure. Is all I'm saying. I'm not saying you could make a thinner movie that rivals Shawshank Redemption. I'm saying
for example, this book and movie has a vengeance subplot.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Right.
And I was thinking, wow, like they totally missed the mark on every part of Joe Mantegna attacking gypsies and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Like that could have been really entertaining.
It could have been way more of a slow burn, like, you know, get him do the long con as opposed to I'm gonna kill your dogs, now I'm gonna kill your mook, now I'm gonna kill your I'm gonna shoot up your farm.
That part I didn't like as much, but I'll tell you, Robert John Burke, I think in that fat suit was acting his butt off.
Yeah.
And I think he did a fantastic job.
I couldn't take it seriously.
What he was involved
in. It was worse
than
Crumps.
I couldn't take it seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I couldn't take it seriously. It was too comedic.
And somebody agree with me. It's not possible to do serious acting in a fat suit, apparently.
It's only if it doesn't look like a fat suit. That's the problem, is that back then the fat suit technology wasn't where it is today. The guy, and it's funny, I mean, I know, it's like you look at Courtney Cox when she had the fat suit on Friends and the flashbacks. But now you look at stuff like Legion. There's the Shadow King you always see you frequently see in a fat suit. There's the guy on This Is Us. I don't know if anybody here watches that, but that guy, it blows my mind. It wasn't until we saw him on something else we realized, oh my God, that's a fat suit he's wearing on This Is Us.
But there's also lessons learned apparently from films like this.
Yeah.
Like, you don't pull back and shoot the whole guy walking down the street in the fat suit.
Right.
You know? Right. Yes. Because he's not a fat man, so he doesn't walk like a fat man.
Yes.
He walks like somebody wearing an inner tube.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like he's got floaties on. And it's
watch some rerun on What's Happening Now.
Exactly.
That's how you study for the role.
And every time he smiled, his face would just not move right, and you know, all of that stuff. But that wasn't even so much my problem. It was just all played so like on the sleeve and not nuanced and cartoony. Right. It's like a big cartoon.
What do you want?
I don't know.
I want the first shot of the kitchen to not have freaking ruffles all over the countertop.
I thought that was great.
I was like,
sponsored by Doritos. Like, talk about your Doritos product placement.
Who is the American household who would have chips all over the countertop? That's just like ridiculous.
Every house I've been to.
No, chips around the sink. Chips in every part of around the sink. Like, no, no one does that. And so when you see that, instead of it being like good humor, oh, ha, he's trying to lose weight, you're just looking at it like, what is this? And it takes you out of the movie completely.
Yeah, it's like a Hoarders episode of those chips, man.
Yeah.
They were everywhere. I forgot about that.
I think my favorite scene, though, has to be him weighing himself in the bathroom with a box of vanilla wafers in his hand while Yeah. Joe Montana.
He took his,
disrobed him.
Didn't he take his, oh yeah, right. He got, yeah, he got his thing yanked. And couldn't you see like a little bit of wiener in that shot? That
was, yeah.
That it was
has
foul.
This movie has a tour of different kinds of scales at the beginning. I don't know if you noticed.
That is a fun fact. Yeah. I enjoyed all the different scales. They didn't stick with just one. That was just this whole,
whole litany of them.
That's the word I was looking for.
That's a word I always look for, but I never find. Right. Today we found it.
Yes, so are we at the point where we need something more for the antagonist than just a quote unquote gypsy curse? Doesn't that feel a little bit like mad scientist kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like,
well, so all right, can we
need something to cause this gypsy curse?
Yeah, no kidding. So Brian, you know, we should dip back a little bit into a broader conversation we had on TMS about gypsies, because my knowledge of gypsies comes purely from television and movie things. Okay, I don't have any experience with the actual people that some refer to derogatorily as gypsies. And right. I heard from somebody from Wales today on Twitter who says, oh yeah, we've got some people that are, you know, people called gypsies that are about 20 miles from us. And they're, if you called them a gypsy, they would probably kill you or something. So he was telling me all these awful things about these people that live near them and, you know, referred to them as gypsies, but said that if you refer to them as that, they get really mad. So there's been this big back and forth with me and a bunch of the community about.
And I have more to add on that as well.
Good. But like the whole thing about like, is gypsy offensive? Is the word, if you somebody rips you off and you say, oh, that's a total gyp, like those kinds of phrasings, they feel like when I do those things, I feel like I'm being derogatory toward mythical creatures. Like I'm doing it, I'm being derogatory toward a fairies
towards
or
the,
it's very,
right,
it's very close to like
TV and
witches.
Movie versions.
Yeah, because they don't seem real to me. They seem like, because, well, here's an example. In this movie, what is it about? They have magic. They curse people with magic. Like, to me, they're not real. Right. They're just some, they're like, they're, you know what they're like? They're like leprechauns. They just don't exist. But but I guess they actually do. And so I'm being told by lots of people, they're like, oh, would you be offended if I called you the N-word? And I'm like, well, hold on a minute. Let's back up a little. There's not a bunch of mythical movies about black people who cast magic on each other. Like, it's
a
different thing.
Well, yeah, this movie doesn't help things by having them call themselves gypsies and have flyers that say gypsy party or gypsy fair or whatever.
Right.
You know, you know, it's like, I'm not going to say what it's, it's like saying, here's the Jewish festival, but they're handing out things that say Jew party.
Yeah, Jew.
But I mean, we can't do anything about the movie. Like at this point, like we could spend a bunch of time complaining that it doesn't call them, you know, Romani or something, but we can't do anything about it. The movie is the movie. Mm-hmm. And also, you're talking about a pretty spread out, like disparate group of people now. Like maybe 150 years ago, Romani were kind of a discrete group, but now it's 50 million people in 100 different countries all over the world, and they're no longer, you know, gypsies here aren't like gypsies there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I don't even know. Are there American gypsies? Do we have such a thing?
Absolutely.
There are Romani gypsies in America. Yeah.
Where are they? Yeah. Where do they hang out? What's the locale?
We have.
They either hide the fact that they're Romani, and they've either denounced, you know, their upbringing, or they just hide the fact that they're
Romani
because of the negativity around it.
But what's their origin? Like, what you're describing
Eastern Europe.
Okay.
No, actually, the ultimate origin is Northern India.
Oh, really?
Like, we're talking about people who were living in like Punjab, what's now Punjab, like 200 years ago, and have been, you know, spreading and you know, divorcing themselves into different spots. Like the Romani in France, they all speak French. Right. You know, their descendants here in the United States are all over Appalachia and the Midwest and so on. Mm-hmm. It, you know, not all over. They're out. You know,
but it's not an but it's not an ethnic or genetic line, right? It's just like cultural line?
Absolutely, it is.
It is. Okay, so those French people. Are related to the original Punjabi dudes, is what you're saying to me. Like,
yes.
Okay. All right.
That's exactly how they would define themselves. We're related to the Punjabi dudes.
Punjabi dudes.
But again, you're talking about people who speak French and their parents spoke French and their grandparents spoke French. Right.
So you're saying they're not all as angry as Kari were? No. Is that what you're saying?
No.
She was very angry.
They don't all have slingshots either. That's the dumbest weapon.
Oh, my God. She's dumb. No, that was such a cool slingshot.
No.
Well, what is she throwing, firing with that slingshot that goes through slugs. A man's hand?
Little metal slugs. What they call the bell bearings or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty hardcore.
But that was a wicked-looking slingshot, though. Yeah, come on. Okay.
Before we get off the subject of Romani, friends of the show, James and Svet, from Same Sex Mary. Svet is actually from Bulgaria. Mm-hmm. And when James and Svet went back to Bulgaria about 10 years ago, everybody was warning him, be careful around the gypsies. They'll rob you. They'll pick your pockets. They'll assault you. They're rapists. And when they got there, they kind of saw a whole different story. It was just basically racist hate speech. They were spitting on them. People were spitting on the Romani and it was more like, we're degrading them, or they were degrading them, then these people actually had the real reputation that they were. Yeah,
they're real easy target. Anytime you have a transient group, they're going to be easy target because it's easy to blame the people who are coming through town.
Yeah, the ones that are camping in parks and stuff, they're easy. You're totally right. They're easy part. They're easy targets. But it's just maybe what I'm trying to do is if in my effort to seek understanding about all the gypsy stuff. It purely comes from a place of, I really don't know them outside of movies. And in the movies, they're all magical and sell me trinkets that give me long life.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not.
These are movies, film gypsy exploitation.
It is gypsy exploitation in the theater. You're right.
And I just always assumed, like Harry Potter or anything else, it's all a bunch of mumbo jumbo. Like, it doesn't, they were never. There may have been something it was based on, kind of like, you know, every fantasy book or movie is based on, you know, the Knights of the Round Table, Middle Ages, knights and horses and stuff. And all that stuff sort of fits into fantasy. You just add a little magic and whatever. But to me, the gypsies thing just always felt like that. Like, oh, it's like it's like wood elves. They are the keepers of the heart of the tree. And,
right. And so when you actually get past, like, this film's 20 years old, and you get kind of past that time in the modern world, you realize, oh, this is just a really cheap, like, racist joke. Yeah. You know, this isn't even, you know what I mean? Like, in retrospect, he could have done a lot better. He could have come up with a much more compelling enemy.
Yeah.
Was it a racist joke, or was it like they talk about in the movie, it's a 180. It's trying to turn the reflection back on the primary white characters, and they really attack them like a tribe.
For sure. You know, like, I think this movie is white. I mean,
right, and it says that it says, "Hey, look, white man, you know it's the things that you're projecting on these other people. You're 10 times worse."
Yeah, but aren't they just white people from not town? Because they weren't. They weren't all that.
Feel like,
you know, different.
The creators of the movie basically were basically doing what we would have done is like, well, here's what we think gypsies are, and maybe they're kind of like a cross between Native Americans and Cajun people.
Definitely had Native American type. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Yes.
When that guy showed up to get his medication from Stephen King, I thought that's what he was. I thought, we got a third faction in here. These are going to be some people whose land you stole or some whatever. And nope, they were also gypsies with a really bad tumor on his face or whatever the heck
was. I'm gonna need closure on that spot on his nose. I'm gonna need some story closure.
Read the book.
Yeah, I know. You can make a guy thin with a curse, but you can't just uncurse your nose.
So there's some story behind that, right, Randy? What's in the book about that?
And we've talked about this before. In Stephen King books, because you can't use sudden orchestra hits or jump scare visuals to scare the reader, right? Mm-hmm. He has to go a different way. And so Stephen King, his way is to write the grossest, most disgusting words that he can to make you feel bad as you're reading. Like you get this horrible feeling reading about the pus oozing out of the side of this guy's face.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And that's how Stephen King works you over in these books.
Yeah.
He likes to, in this book, to give you a lot of impressions and you have to figure it out. Like, in the movie, did he or did he not kill his daughter? You don't know.
Yeah.
You just, right, right. You're like, she just skips off with pie on her finger, right?
I love that Stephen King turn, though, that goes from, oh my gosh, I'm just going to kill myself, to, oh, look, the white doctor from town is here. It's time for some more revenge.
Yeah.
Let me hop back into that.
I got some thoughts about the pie stuff. I don't know if we want to jump that far ahead real quick, but let's just do it. Why the hell not?
We'll do it.
I still don't understand why the revenge against his wife. Was it because she was doing the hoo-ha in the car and he was trying to get revenge against that because she started all this?
If you know Stephen King stories, you know that he likes to portray a miscommunication and then have people's lives hang in the balance.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
For sure.
So like think of
so
the
instead
end
of comedic
the
effect, it's horror effect.
Yeah. The Mist is like that. The freaking almost every book has that. Yeah, you're right.
Right. Yeah. And so this one is no different, right? He gets the impression that his wife is having an affair, but you, the audience, will never know if it's really true, you know?
Yeah.
And
just to isolate the character, and it's to great effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's probably the most effective part of the film, is the subplot about whether or not she's having an affair. And then ultimately, when the main character brutally murders her, like, I mean, what the results are freaking horrific.
Yeah.
And then kisses a desiccated corpse. It's like that all
does more than
that
kiss. Eats her face.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That and, all falls apart.
Yeah.
And let's just get that out of the way. Is I pretty much wrote that down as the thing that grossed Scott Johnson out the most.
You're close. You're close.
Maybe secondary to eating the raw like chicken, looking like chicken fat right off the bone, but
he was eating like a duck.
You're right about the okay. So I'll just tell you now what grossed me out the most. Easily the most grossed out thing I was when he was eating the chicken like that. Now the thing with the face is gross in concept, but because I know it's just a rubber corpse, I don't, you know, who cares? So it doesn't bother me as much. Whatever, you know, my brain kicks in and says, well, that isn't real, so it's not really that gross. But him licking, you know, eating a piece of chicken or a rib or whatever like a maniac is totally real, and that is so sick to me. But anyway, and there's also some sounds he makes when he kisses his wife, which is dead, that really got me. Oh, I got my curdle churning right there for sure.
Right.
But anyway,
this had more bad Foley work than a Hardee's commercial.
I guess the problem I ran into is I got the subplot about the maybe she's having an affair, maybe he's not. What I didn't understand is, and maybe it was part of his curse, and they sort of showed that earlier with like the image of her making out with the doctor by the window, but they weren't really there. Mm-hmm. The idea that the curse made him more vengeful about it, I guess was sort of portrayed, but not enough for me. So what it felt to me was just irrational. It's like, well, you are having the worst possible medical problem anyone's ever had. Maybe you just not think about other shit for a while. Like, you wouldn't be so focused on this. You would probably just go, well, if she's having an affair, I'll figure it out eventually. But really, right now, I just need to get into a bed and get a damn IV. Like that, none of that worked for me.
And so that's the main difference in the character for me between the book and the movie. In the book, he remains competent and he remains powerful.
Yeah.
Right, and in the movie, he's just pathetic. He's pathetic from the beginning to the end, every scene.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's never, he's never like something where you're going to go, whoa, white man from town is kind of scary. He's just,
except for when he was in the gypsy camp and he was squeezing the blood out. That's when you really got the character from the book show up in the movie.
Okay. Can you explain that too?
When he was put in his curse.
Explain this too. So he got shot through the hand, which is how he was generating blood to squeeze. Right.
Right.
But
right.
old man nose face, what was he doing to get the blood out of his hand? Magic? What was happening there?
He's 100 and something. He just squeezed his hand. It comes out.
Yeah, he just has really sharp fingernails. So he makes a fist. And that's how I took it. It's like, all right, I guess he's just got really sharp fingernails.
Yeah.
Just really old and gross.
And then one final gypsy question.
Can we call him Jip? Can you just
I don't want to do that.
No, that's worse.
That's worse.
Does that sound horrible?
It sounds awful.
Romani.
Let me talk about Romani's.
Hey, we're Romani.
Romani's. Oh my gosh, Ray Romano. Anyway, so your Kermit the Frog sounds a lot like
I know, my Ray Romano bleeds right into my Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They share the same seat. So anyway, the point is that, what was I going to say? Oh, they always have a carnival and they're always doing tricks for people and like, come one and see the bearded lady kind of thing. And they're so they're just carnies, are they, or what are? I mean,
they were mixing Native Americans with carnies, with just any transient people is what they were pretty much throwing them all into.
I'm telling you, I don't know for sure, but I will bet you that there are people in the United States who have been to gypsy carnivals, and I'll bet you there's people somewhere in Europe who've been to gypsy carnivals, and then there's people all over the world who would think that's ridiculous. Why would that even exist? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because this is just a disparate number, dozens of different groups of people now.
Mm. Right.
All right. There's a piece of trivia that's interesting. Tom Holland, director and writer.
Spider-Man.
Was stricken with the Bell's palsy virus, which paralyzes half of your face during filming the movie. The effects could have been minimized if you'd gotten a steroid immediately. That's usually what the immediate treatment is. It's almost like an EpiPen. You get steroids in there and you do much better. But the producers insisted he keep working. So this is where I start to question this thing. It's like, no, I don't care if you've got the Bell's palsy. We must make thinner and fast. Anyway, so it was 36 hours before he got to a doctor. It took more than a year and a half for Holland to fully recover. The result was the end of his Hollywood career for an entire decade. So you saw nothing from Tom Holland for 10 years, according
Stephen King almost killed him.
Yeah. But there's always, you know, I always like when there's a spooky movie that has weird circumstances, like the girl from Poltergeist died. Mm-hmm.
From the 70s all the way up until the 90s, you heard a lot of that kind of urban legend.
There was a guy
kind of
last
stuff.
Week on The Wraith, right? That the stunt coordinator.
Oh, right. We didn't even talk about that, did we, on the show? But yes, there was a stunt coordinator who got in a crash during that film. There was the Twilight Zone helicopter crash that killed a couple people, actor right. and a girl or something. And then what was the other one I'm always thinking of? Oh, The Crow. You got the Bruce Lee thing about him and his son and how there's a curse in the family and they're all going to die. And I don't know why.
There was a whole bunch of dead Indians in that one movie with the Poltergeist.
Yeah, there's that one. Well, that was they were there before, though. But that's the thing is I don't believe a thing about that stuff, like in terms of its legitimacy. But I'm fascinated by it anyway, because it's just odd circumstance, isn't it? It's weird. Joe Mantegna, who every time said anything, I thought of Brian Nibbett doing it. Where's the monies? We need the monies, Homer.
It's funny. Like, boy, you tell him, hey, Joe, we need you to play a mob boss. Okay, I can do this voice. I'll just make sure to enunciate.
Yeah.
Bring us the monies.
Do you know how much Mantegna I get in my life? Because we've went through this binge watching of Criminal Minds, and there's like 13 seasons of this thing.
He's in there.
And he is just in it every week.
Yep, he's in it to win it. Does he do this voice or is it less mobstery? What does he do?
It's a little less mobstery, but every once in a while it'll creep out. Yeah. It'll creep out. Yeah.
I like that. The point is he narrates the audiobook of Thinner, which is his big connection.
Oh, does he really? Yeah. I would love to listen to that.
Yeah, the entire book.
He took the rib and he sucked all the meat off of it.
You do like an amazing.
Where are the ribs?
I'm gonna see if I can find that actually. Audible Thinner.
Oh yeah, let's hear some of it.
Because he's official. Okay, Amazon. No. Okay, Audible edition. Here we go. Let's see if we can play a little sample here. Oh, do they not have that anymore? You should have that.
Boo.
Shouldn't they have
that's
that?
That's about the thing about Stephen King books and Stephen King in general. His stuff comes and goes. There's just no. It's just really hard to capture all of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna find it because it's got to be here, right? Oh, here we go. Okay. Thinner. Stephen King Thinner. Here we go. Joe Mantegna. Oh, this is totally it. Okay, here's the sample.
Sweet. That line was centered neatly at 232. He had lost 14 pounds since the day Canley had settled out of court. But it wasn't his weight that had made him gasp. It was his fate.
And the monies.
And quit over tightening that guitar string.
Right? Oh my God.
And Richie was the most handsome character in the.
There's a trope here that kind of bugged me.
Hold on. I got that.
And I think if you think about it, you can think of other examples of this. Something really weird is happening to our main character, and no one will believe him. The swarthiest person in the movie, and even then Joe Mantegna's like, I kind of don't believe you, but my mama will believe you. Like, seriously, this is what, like,
why don't you come over and we have spaghetti on a boat? That sounds fantastic.
I hate that thing where no one like it's why wouldn't you believe him? Like, yeah. Why does everybody really? No, that's not happening. So it's like, I got bit by a radioactive spider. No, you didn't.
Look, I can climb the wall.
It is definitely a trope that I'm not sure they need. Like, I understand certain kinds of story things that people always do to push things forward. And maybe they're universal and they always work. But I don't know why that one has to exist. You could definitely have more people concerned about him. You could have less people being skeptical about it. You could just, why not? Why not just accept what's happening? In fact, I'm sure there's movie examples of this where it works really well, where you don't have to hide it the whole time or act like it's not happening. It drives me nuts. Right.
There is a trope that I did enjoy, which is the doomsayer.
Oh, the doomsayer. The
doomsayer.
Yeah, she was effective. Mm-hmm. She was scary as crap.
Yeah.
Casting her doom upon the world.
Did you think this was, so you're talking about what's her hottie?
Card word.
Yeah.
She's very pretty. I like her from a... she looked really familiar to me the entire time, and I think she looks like Alyssa Milano, and it throws me off. I think that's what I think I'm saying.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Sliders?
Yes.
Because we have here on the show, and Kari Wuer was in that.
Hold on, was she the
short-haired slider? She was the slider for
She was the original slider girl, right?
She was the short-haired slider? Really?
Was she the second one or the first one?
She's naked a lot. She's naked a lot in some other movies. She does like full frontal.
A lot of other movies.
In this particular movie, she's directed to do something that no one in the universe has ever done, and it drives me batty. Give me another trope alert.
Oh, wow. We got one more coming. Hold on. Wow, shit. Hold on here. Yeah.
Woman is homicidally mad at you. So to let you know, she starts by seducing you. No one has ever done this. No one would ever show you their panties before flipping you off. Ever.
Yeah,
that is dude writing to
it's
a T.
Exactly. It's like, all right, I think I finally figured out a way that we can get a little Kari Wuer skin action here.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do.
Yeah. She throws a mean bird, though. Give her that.
That was super angry.
Yeah, that was a sweet bird. In fact, I will say, let me see, I've got a picture right here.
Yeah, Scott, you liked it so much you took a screenshot.
That's one of the most captured scenes from this movie if you go on the internet.
Yep, and it's a combination of 80s and 70s bird because it's kind of she's almost going full extension, knuckles down, but she's kind of got the knuckles up a little bit.
We call that a dork bird around here. If you pull the knuckles all the way down, it looks kind of dorky.
Really?
But if you
it's
keep the knuckles
old,
up.
Old man bird. Old man pulls the knuckles all the way down.
Yeah. Right.
The only time I ever saw my dad flip somebody off was my dad. I just can't believe I actually saw my dad give someone the finger.
Yeah.
But he did this while we were driving through Laredo, Texas, and there was another driver who was like the worst living human.
Yeah.
And it finally frustrated my dad to a point where he rolled down the window and pulled up next to the other driver and gave him the bird. And it was the full compress your fingers as far down as they go.
Yeah.
White knuckles.
That's the 70s bird. It's an amazing
bird. I'm so glad I have that memory. I cherish it.
No, that is the best bird there is. It's the one that makes you go, holy shit. And you feel like you're being pulled that back in time and you're scared of the person doing it. Like, it is a scary bird. The 80s bird is just like a little, like a little wiener bird.
Yeah.
Like, look at me, little testicle knuckles.
A little sphere with a finger sticking out of the top of
it. That's it. It's so lame. It's like a little baby wiener. It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. let's see. They say there was more gruesome effects footage from Heidi's ultimate fate that they filmed, but they didn't have it in the final cut. I can't imagine it being much worse than it was. It was pretty bad.
It's pretty gnarly, man.
Yeah,
you don't
want to wake. Oh, that's behind cognitive dissonance, all right? You've come home. You've been gone forever. You've been accusing her of an affair. And now you're like, oh, it's good to be back. Yeah, it's great. How you doing? Oh, I'm great. I just really wish you'd eat this pie, though. You think you could eat this? You know, we need to go to bed. Okay, but first eat the pie. Like, there was so much like, all right, fine. Yeah, eat the damn pie.
Like, you wouldn't know something was up.
Yeah.
Right.
But that was part of the, you know, that was will they, won't they kind of pushing. I mean,
like the poison's in the glass and they're lifting the glass up to their mouth and they put it down to say something. Then they lift it up again. They get interrupted with something else. It's kind of that sort of thing.
And you just couldn't. That's one of the things I liked about the movie. You couldn't decide if you wanted to pull for him or not. I mean, he's such a D-bag, but
I never wanted to pull for him.
You kind of want him to win.
I never did. I hated him the entire time. I just don't. That character really drove me crazy. And his wife, I just felt like got the complete shaft here. She wasn't like.
Oh. She absolutely
clearly was not deserving of any of this.
She got the blood pie. For
she
sure.
got the freaking blood pie, dude. Ugh, that was so gross that it was throbbing and moving around. Ugh, that was gross. Well, I didn't like that.
And again, a book takes the time to let you know, like, he saw the pie was covered in blood and then it mysteriously wasn't, and it smelled this and it looked like that. And you're like, oh, okay, so this is a magic pie that changes to whatever. Like, it gives you, you know what I'm saying? It gives you the overt understanding. Whereas in the movie, you just have to make it up for yourself. And you're like, wait, does it taste like blood to her? Like, you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's slurped up like it probably just tastes like whatever you want the pie to taste like, but it contains the curse and it pulsates. Right. And at points, it looks like a vagina.
Yeah. Yeah. It did. And then when he finds out the kid,
try to make love to it.
Then he finds out the kid's got it. And I'm thinking, oh, well, okay. She had it for breakfast, by the way. Bad parenting. Pies should never be a thing to eat for breakfast.
Oh, wow.
And then, it contains flour. It contains that. It's good breakfast pies.
Seriously, one of Bill Cosby's top 10 bits of all time right there.
Yeah, okay, that's true. For breakfast. So then he goes out, or she goes out, off to her high school life. Awful actress, by the way. She's terrible in this. She's done some good work since, but this is her debut, and she's real bad. But he sends her off into the whatever, and all I'm thinking is you're concerned that you've had her eat your pie. By the way, exact same thing happens in Stephen King book I just read.
He loves the pie.
Oh, the
he loves having people eat it.
The Mr. Mercedes book. Except it's meat in there, but it's the same exact thing where meat was meant for someone else, and someone else ended up, who he did not want to die, got the poison meat and ended up having a horrible, awful death because of the poison meat. It's like the exact same trope, but
it's a very Twilight Zone kind of thing where, you know, the person you don't want to hurt, that you want to keep protected, ends up falling prey to your vengeance. Yep.
Yeah. Right. It's the old Midas touch, right? I mean,
right. There you go. Perfect.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There you go. Yeah. We just keep reusing that one. But Mr. Mercedes, by the way, great book. I really enjoyed it. It's part of that trilogy he did. And it's just straight up like detective novel. Like, it's not magic or any of that. That could be a really good show or TV show.
I'm reading that too. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I like Mr. Mercedes a lot. It's just, you know, serial killer, psycho dude thing deal. Anyway, so what was my point there? My point is that pie shit was dumb and they shouldn't have done it and whatever. The pie was stupid. And then when the doctor comes over, just him turning into this like, now I'm the guy that has people come in and tricks them into eating the pies, and then we end the movie. Dumb. Yeah,
I loved that. Loved it.
Dumb.
Yeah. So in the book, the adultery subplot is missing. Like this doctor is a completely added character for the film, or a hugely expanded character for the film.
Yeah.
And so in the book, you're left with the question: did the daughter eat the pie? And you're also, you know, like, you're also left with the question, did he go ahead and kill himself, realizing that he's accidentally killed his daughter?
Yeah.
Right.
And those are like really interesting. That's like a really interesting thing that I think they could have portrayed visually a lot better than this, which is just a shutting door. Like, a shutting door is not, I'm sorry.
That's what I hated about Vanilla Sky the other week. They did the same thing. They just shut all the doors and said, okay, this is the answers.
There's your package.
And see, with the plates in the sink, I mean, you could almost have ended at the point when the daughter left, because I was like, did the daughter do it, or was she really having an affair with the doctor and he was over the night before and they were eating his pie? Oh, that would really make him mad if he was eating the pie.
What if there were two pies?
The doctor did and outside. Yeah, or something?
Didn't you get the impression there were two pies?
Maybe there were two pies. Bro. Yeah, they could have gone lots of directions with this, but it's funny because because the trivia states that Holland wanted the original book ending and they tried it and test audiences supposedly hated it. If they hated that,
went, boo.
If they hated that, how did they possibly not hate the way this ended?
Yeah.
This was the fifth ending, and they were just like, we got to send this out.
We were out of time. Our account's getting thinner. We need to release this film.
This is so the guys, again, you gotta hear these two lines I wrote on my notes last night. This is how late I was watching Thinner, and then my two notes were, thought I saw this, I think I was thinking of Scanners, and then my next one was, I said, the next one was, only insane people act like this. You'd be in bed or something. Those are my two notes.
Nice.
This also, like, one of the most impressive things about the book is the thing that this movie misses over and over and over, which is his losing weight it's really scary and tragic. And right. the movie just kind of glosses over it. Oh, look, he looks a little thinner now. Oh, look, he looks a little thinner now. Well, you're only getting like headshots of him. Yeah. He's riding in a car or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you missed something really clever, you know, which is what a person might look like over this rapid degeneration.
Yeah. Last time here's what you want to go get the real feel for how this should have gone. Watch Batman Begins and then watch The Machinist right after that.
Oh, wow. Right. Oh, my goodness.
If you want to see what it's like to watch a guy go from heavier or bigger to ridiculously unhealthily thin. That's
the way to Batman.
Yeah. Batman got real thin in that. But that stuff was whatever. When he pulled his shirt up, it was supposed to be, oh, look at his ribs and stuff. But all I could think of was, oh, look at the plastic model they made.
Look at the body double, which is right. a shame.
Yeah,
that could have been so impressive.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
Would you do it? Would you CG the guy at some point at this? Right? I mean, I don't mean the guy, but you'd have him walking around doing mocap. So it'd be a performance capture, but you could take away so much, and it would actually be pretty effective, I think.
Yeah. You start with an actor who's really, really gone.
You start with DJ Qualls. Think about that.
Right, yeah.
You start with DJ Qualls. Or William Hickey.
Yeah. Boy, there's a way for me to take this movie seriously. Put DJ Qualls in the main
role.
Right,
exactly. Yeah. Okay, all right. Okay, remember Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club?
Sure.
How about that?
Sure. Oh, yeah, have him good. start with that, and then you CGI the bulk, and then slowly chip that away.
Take it off, yeah.
That's not bad. Actually, it would work. I'm telling you, you could make scanners, thinner. You could make thinner today, and it would be awesome. I think you could do it. I think you could make a cool, compelling
movie. And I think it'd be really good because it taps into our fears of diet. You know, it's like one thing we want to lose weight. Yeah. But, you know, Stephen King's really good at picking our everyday fears. And I think this – and then wrapping it inside of a weird blood pie.
There's a couple of really ironic things that happened this week around this film. One is last night, right before watching it, we went out, got $5 steaks at this local place that has these amazing steaks you can grill up yourself, but they're so good and they're only $5 and they're huge. And we thought, oh, that'd be great. And we got one for everyone here in the house. Everybody was over, Dylan and Tay and everybody. And so I ate the biggest, fattest, most bad for me, I'm going to eat this red meat steak last night. And then it came and I watched Thinner right after that.
Yeah, I was worried about that because I was contemplating dinner right before Thinner. And I was like, no dinner before Thinner. And I was like, oh, that kind of rhymed.
It's a good
winner, winner, chicken thinner.
Yeah. By the way, you stole one of my alternate titles already, by the way.
Oh, did I really?
Yeah. It's all right, though.
Sorry about that.
Maybe great. Even part of my Twitter post.
Yeah, great minds think alike, or too easy low-hanging fruit. I don't know which, but.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, Brian Ibbett, you were going to say something. I think I cut you off.
Just if you're going to remake this today, would you still? How would you work in the Gypsy Curse so that it's so that it doesn't feel like hand waving to start the ball rolling?
Oh,
right. Okay, so I just want to say one thing about that before we fix it, because I saw this movie in the theater. I read the book and went and saw the movie in theater, and then I hated the movie, and then I didn't watch it for 20 years, and then
really?
I watched it yesterday.
Yeah. You hated it in theater?
Okay, here's the thing, I absolutely remember the scene where the old man curses him as being so much longer and more impactful than it was in this viewing.
In this viewing,
it's like he's walking out to his car. There's an old man, thinner. And then he's like, that's it. That's it.
Gets in the car.
Wait a minute.
Grins weird.
They're supposed to lock eyes and have this long stare down. And the curse is supposed to be like slow and repulsive, you know?
It just
flew by. I don't understand.
Yeah,
it's
it was
a short movie.
It was it was a short movie. It was only an hour and a half. You're right, but it was also just they skip over that stuff pretty quick. I mean, I didn't see it in the theater, so I don't have any kind of reference for it. But you're right. That seemed really, really short. Do you think that? Do we have a favorite curse movie? Like, for me, it's Gremlins. Like,
great.
I didn't even think of that about that being a curse movie. I just thought it's like, all right, you've got this little critter, and that's just what happens with it.
No, that was Critters.
Right. Critters
too.
That's another one we should see as Critters.
It's not really a curse movie, is it, though? I mean, it's...
There's too many movies fall into that category, Scott. Like, Pirates of the Caribbean is about a crew of people who are cursed. And
you're right.
Like
it's too broad.
But,
you're right.
But just one-on-one curse.
Okay. Like all right. One person cursing somebody else.
Highlander?
Highlander is definitely... is there a curse in that?
No, he's just from a long line of people who are like that.
You could call it a
curse.
There's
a lot of comedy that does this, but wasn't there a movie with Bill Rainbow something? What was it? Oh, it was. It had to do with like voodoo.
Bill Murray?
No. It was voodoo and Bill Pullman.
Oh, Pullman.
Snake in the ladder.
Snake. Yes. Snake in the bucket.
Shoots and arrows.
Bucket. Shoots and ladders. That's it. Shoots and ladders. No. I know what you mean.
The serpent in the rainbow. Yeah. That was one of my
snakes and ladders. Is serpent in the rainbow?
If you think about it, all of your werewolf movies and vampire movies are this.
Yeah.
Right? All vampire movies.
Your werewolf movies are. I mean, the whole werewolf thing is like a curse. Deal, unless it's like from a lineage of werewolves.
Teen Wolf
is kind of a curse movie, right? Anytime you make a deal with the devil and they put something on you, it's kind of a curse movie,
right? When you said werewolves, it reminded me of Teen Wolf. That's totally a curse movie. There's I'm trying to think of one where it's just even a comedy or something. Incredible Shrinking Woman's a curse movie.
If you want to say comedies, I mean Liar is the best curse a kid has ever placed on a parent. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Right.
You could
argue the Bruce Almighty movies are
right. Parent trap movies. They're kind of curses.
Yeah, you're totally right. I would argue Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom is a curse movie because there's that part where he gets cursed and becomes bad and wants to kill the kid.
Right.
Kalima, and he punches the boy or whatever happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
even drinks the blood just like in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, see?
But I want to go back to Ibbitt's original question, which was, what could you do now? Like, how would you rewrite this to make it not so offensive and dumb? Like the actual cursing of the main character.
No.
Right. And
is it gypsies in the book?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. All right. Yeah. And it's like Stephen King telling you what gypsies are like in America or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. Like, maybe you could do, I always like the idea. I'm a huge fan of, those homeless people look like homeless people, but really, they've got magic. Right. I'm a fan of the idea of what society looks at as lower or beneath them or lower forms of existence or whatever. But they're the ones with the power. So you could be cursed by, if somebody was like begging for food and you walked by and said something rude to him, like, why don't you get a job? And then that guy would look at you and go, I curse you with the curse of 1,000 bees or whatever. And
This is how it worked today. You would have a couple of film students who would go in and do some found footage film of some traveling gypsies and end up getting in over their head.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I could see that.
But
there you go. And one of them is DJ Qualls.
Right.
And he can't stop gaining weight.
He's a professor at this point. He's too old to play the student, right?
That's how you do it.
He's going to look like he's 19 until he's 60.
That's what you do. Yeah. You do it in reverse. You go DJ Qualls to begin with, and he just gets fatter and can't control it. And before you know it, it's like Akira. You got like Tetsuo and, giant flabby flesh monster in the baseball stadium. That's what I want. That's the movie I'm looking for. Although the ultimate curse I just thought of, it's the Brady Bunch and the Tiki.
Oh yeah, the Tiki. Yeah, that's a great one.
That's the one. That's your standard right there. Oh my gosh, that's the shittiest thing.
That is your standard. What a strange world we live in.
It's so bad. Anyway, I wrote also here that I thought gypsies were land pirates. I don't know why I wrote that.
They kind of are because they're dressed like the kind of pirates.
I thought skinny. Yeah,
maybe you think like, all right, were the circus people in Big Top Pee Wee, were they gypsies? Was that kind of like a...
Unfortunately,
it made me wish we hadn't just watched The Wraith. Like, because more than once I was like, wow, I'd rather be watching The Wraith than this. And I thought, what? But how, I mean, like, how is The Wraith better? Like, I wish the gypsies were actually road pirates or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Mitt Romney was in this movie. Not really, but the guy, when he got lost a bunch of weight, he started to look like Mitt Romney, and it cracked me up the entire time. And then I would like to know how the pie got back together. That was just a small logistical question. He literally stabbed a knife through his hand. Why he had to twist it, I don't know. But he shoved it through the pie, bled through the pie, and then what? It self-sealed
itself?
Come on,
I mean, it's a magic pie. If there's anything that doesn't need to be explained, it's that the pulsating vagina pie can heal itself and...
die clean, man from town.
Exactly.
Die clean.
I want to know who this idiot... Was he a... he was a private detective, right? The guy that the main character goes to who says, I'll let you know all this information for $800.
Right.
Because
your
wife is offering $5,000 for the same information. And if you're going to take $800 versus getting $5,000, you're really underselling yourself.
Yeah. Right. It feels like you are not a good business person at all.
Right. It's like $2,500, you know, half is like.
Yeah. You're not going to settle for $800. That's the. I forgot about that. That's so dumb.
$4,999 for me not to tell your wife.
Yeah. No kidding.
I gotta make a profit.
So I think we should do clips, but if we do clips, I just gotta warn you, one of these is the sounds of smacking lips and people.
Well, there's gotta be. What choice do you have? Well,
chronic mastication.
Yeah, there's no way around it. So we'll start with this one. This is a talking about gypsies.
Honest to God, gypsies.
There you go. Honest to God, gypsies.
Honest to God, gypsies.
That's which these things were anything but.
Yeah. This is just the beginning of his Batman sounding voice. There's a lot more, but we'll keep going. Anyway, I'd like to know what impression his daughter is doing. So here you go.
You'll say this is justice. This is not justice.
That's the worst Godfather impression.
His was good. Hers,
I'm going to come to you and ask you for a favor.
That's so bad.
Speaking of Batman voice, everybody saw Lego Batman?
No, I want to bad. I keep hearing great things about it.
So Netflix is doing an April Fool's joke called Netflix Live.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I don't know how far it goes yet. I only know that I've seen the first hour of Will Arnett basically streaming an Office Space.
Yeah.
And so Will Arnett's just sitting there talking, and I've got this on, and my kid comes in and goes and just freaks out.
Because he hears Batman, yeah.
Yeah, he hears Lego Batman.
Yeah. That's a weird thing. And that thing's all pre-recorded. It's not actually live, but I watched 20 minutes of it or something. It's pretty funny.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah,
so I'll fire that up.
He's sweary as hell in it. So yeah.
I'm trying to keep away from any April Fool's stuff, but if Netflix is doing it right, then I'll check out the Netflix thing.
Yeah, it's more like a funny joke than anything else. I freaking hate this day, but that one's pretty good. Also, for when I first saw it, I have to admit, for just this hot second, I went, oh, shit, they're going to do a live service? And then, then I went, no, Scott, come on. What day is it, buddy?
Like I say, I don't know how people listening now know how far it goes, but it would be really cool if they had released the first hour on the 31st, and then on the 1st they actually had 24 hours straight.
Yeah, that would be incredible. That would be going all in on your joke. Here's something about this is Montaigne talking.
So what this is really all about is
pulling your ass out of the fire.
Yeah. Bring us the monies.
Where is the monies? My wife is very insistent upon that topic. Where's the pretzel monies?
Where's the monies? Here's being mean to gypsies.
Don't you see what's going on here? We've been invaded by a bunch of filthy, thieving gypsies.
Yeah, you're about to get touched and turn into a lizard. So I would slow your roll there, Grandpa. Disease, what? Oh, here he is again.
They bring disease, crime, and prostitution. What kind of fun is that?
A little fun on the end there. A little tail end.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be. I'm not saying it's good or should be legal, but I'm just saying, there's some fun to be had. Look, all I'm saying is this. In a world of legal prostitution, I suppose there's some fun. Right?
Right. And apparently the football team has no restraint because they're all going to get the clap.
Yeah, always.
Crywer.
Isn't that the deal?
Was implied. Was implied by the...
No, this was outright stated.
Right,
This was not implied.
This is true, yeah.
Here's nose ointment scene. Oh, yeah, here we go.
Hey, what you fill this for my nose?
For my nose.
My nose.
Look at it. It's gross.
White men took our land and threw their trash on the highway where I was walking.
I like the bugaloo.
And I'm crying.
He reminded me, he was like the bugalo Martian guys on Futurama with the bugalo. We love the bugalo. So good.
I really felt like he was the second best thing in the film behind Joe Mantegna. Like I really liked that.
Oh no, I got a kick out of that dude. I mean, just from a once I gave up on the movie, he was really entertaining to watch say things. So he was great. Literally, they called Stephen King his. They gave him the name Bangor, like from Bangor, Maine. Oh, really? Yeah. So here's the scene where they call him that.
You saw the old woman leave the store, Mr. Bangor. She was running.
I guess so.
They called him Mr. Bangor.
Bangor from the planet Bangor.
God. I didn't catch that.
I couldn't help but catch it. It drove me nuts. Okay, I found some old audio. This is weird. We dusted this off. Found some old audio tapes. This is Brian Ibbett's prom again. And this was proving he was scared while on the date. Okay, so here's some audio from that.
Yes, sir. We have witnesses to that effect, and his skid marks confirm that.
There you go.
That cracked me up. Exactly what I thought. Oh man! Oh,
didn't go well for you that night.
was getting fellatio in the car and delivered some skid marks.
You know what, gents? Over the last
the car BJ to an end faster right. than. Right.
I just want you to know, over the last decade, all the underwear in the store have gone from white to dark colors.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, those marks are still there.
You just can't see them. There's other ways to detect them.
You can't see them with your eyes. You can smell them with your nose.
That's right. By the way, I don't understand in any reality, any version of Earth, where you would run over somebody, kill them with your car, and then think to turn your windshield wipers on.
I wouldn't necessarily say he ran over her. It was more like he ran under her.
Yeah.
Under her.
That's so true.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I want this on my tombstone.
Somebody call Richard Simmons.
There you go. That's what I want.
Yeah, that was feeling like Richard Simmons wants a call timing. From you.
Yeah.
Right.
Nobody call Richard Simmons. Richard
Simmons. Where is Richard Simmons?
It's something about Kirk. Some guy named Kirk.
Hey, Kirk.
What?
Give me a little kiss, sweetheart.
Oh, they were golfing. That's what that was.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're golfing and they're having banter. But that was like the weirdest portrayed banter I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's like, hey, killed a guy, did you? It's like.
But that was to establish that these guys were a bunch of.
But then the judge.
Didn't care about life.
Yeah.
But then the judge is like, you better not be talking around me like that. And then they're like, okay. And then they just keep talking around him like that. Like,
right.
It was just, I don't know. It didn't work out for
it's
me.
Bad.
That could have been funny.
Yeah.
Or something.
It was bad. There's no question about it being bad. Here's what is, I don't know what this is.
This diet you're on, what is it? I've tried all the others. I might as well try this one.
I don't think you'd like it, Henry.
No, that's what it was.
That was his other doctor, right? His family practitioner or something?
No, yeah. I thought
the doctor
it was.
Wasn't stooping his wife.
Oh, I thought he was the tailor. Wasn't that the tailor?
No, was he a tailor? You're right. He's a tailor. I'm sorry. You're right. Duh.
All right. Yeah. Here is the first example of
I get tailors and doctors confused like you get thinner and scanner confused.
Doctor
which
Taylor?
Which explains my last prostate exam. Anyway,
that's
go ahead.
That's that really. There's a really great. You thought he was checking your inseam, but really it's right. Fingers up your butt.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
turn your head and cough. No, I'm just measuring your inseam.
What was I going to say? Oh, there's a character in the old. There's a cartoon that's not on the air anymore in Cartoon Network called The Adventures of Flapjack.
Yeah.
It's great. It's awesome. It's got Brian Doyle Murray in it and stuff. Anyway, there's a character called Dr. Barber, and he's literally a doctor and a barber. So he'll say, you want to, you know, come on in for a haircut or some surgery. Like, he's got this great thing going on, and it's just reminding me of that. So there you go. That just made me think of that. Thanks, Brian. Here's some gross eating. Enjoy this. That makes me want to go home and never come out.
I think every child in the world can relate to having their father masticate on some food that just annoys. When you're a teenager and your father is slurping down food, it's just the worst thing that
it
you
is.
Can imagine.
I have memories of that. I have. I do it to my kids now just to irritate them.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if I'm going to if you're going to hear it anyway, I might as well just go ahead and go all in.
Yep, exactly. What would you ask your mob friend? Anyway.
Do you believe gypsies can curse people?
Oh yeah, that was a big question. Do you believe gypsies can curse people?
Let me check with mom.
Yeah. Let me check it out. I'll find the monies. Here's one about Grumpy Cop Man.
Snivel up to him and say, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh gosh, I need to look how sorry I am.
Alright, okay.
Okay, you made your point. Jeez. Just did he touch your face and go sarcasm?
That is funny.
How much bubble gum was in his mouth while he was delivering those lines?
I was actually wondering what the word was that he said to him.
Touched him and said sarcasm is really funny.
I like what Ibbet went with.
Yeah, which was that, wasn't it? Sarcasm?
I think yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Here's where he sounds like Batman.
Dear Heidi, I'm going after Lemke. The old guy knows what I did, but not what you did. And that frees you up to believe the curse is all in my head. Unfortunately, that's a luxury I no longer have. But I'm going to work it out. In the meantime, if there's anything going on between you and Dr. Mikey, end it.
Alfred, I'm worried about Harvey Dent.
End it.
Yeah, that's really... Till
then, I have to travel through the night.
I'm Batman. All right, here's I wrote old gypsy, so I don't know what that means.
Ooh, we don't like to think about that, do we, Mr.?
I hate that Snaggletooth
that
laugh
too.
Man,
Snaggletooth, the cartoon, right? Isn't that kind of what that is? Right.
Snagglepuss.
Snagglepuss, that's it.
You reminded me a little bit of my grandmother.
Really?
I'm just saying.
Weird.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I want to know more about your grandma. He also sounded kind of Eastern Indian there, which feeds into Brian or Randy's origin story about the
Punjab dudes.
Yeah, the Punjabbers. Well done. Yeah. That's not offensive, I'm sure, to anybody. The Punjabbers, I'm sure they love being called that.
Right, I was about to say.
You
look like
you're
159. Nice. Next week you'll be 143.
I love that laugh. Here is a, this is a call that would never happen, I wrote.
Sorry, Billy. Carrie can't come to the phone right now. Yesterday he drove his Lincoln into a gas truck. A happy ending of sorts. He always did want to be cremated.
And then she hung up, dude.
Made me laugh.
Too many things made me laugh in this movie.
This is Rick. Please leave your message at the beep.
You just don't have conversations like that with people. Here's the curse of the white man from town.
The curse of the white man from town.
That smoker's laugh can't stop.
Yeah. And apparently he has a bunch of bats in his mouth.
Yeah.
Right. A whole bunch of bats.
It did sound like bats.
That's how you do the sequel. That's how you do the reboot.
Well, that's so funny. I didn't click, but you're right. It sounds like bats. Here's more.
The curse of the white man from town is on you, pal.
It didn't. Pal. Like, you couldn't have been, you couldn't be a more white man from town for calling that guy pal. Come on.
Right.
So dumb.
I'm going to put 5 Starbucks restaurants right around your village.
Pal. You hear me,
let's
buddy?
See how you like that.
It's terrible. All right. Brian brought up a MOOC earlier. I looked up MOOC just to make sure it wasn't some horrible racist thing.
Sure.
It's just a dummy. It's like an idiot. Right?
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
It is.
So here's that.
It was a MOOC. But it was my MOOC.
As soon as he said that, I thought, I better make sure when we're talking
it's
tomorrow.
A total it's like right, 1920s gangster. Hey, he's a MOOC, you know?
Some kind of MOOC. What are you, a MOOC? Yeah, exactly. But I didn't know that. I thought, oh no, I'm going to find out. This is like Indonesian man or something. I didn't know what it would be. Here's Lady Spit. All right, there's that.
Okay. That was perfect.
Yeah, she spit. She did it twice, I think, in this thing. Didn't she? I think she spit twice.
Oh, she spit several times.
Oh, that grossed me out. All right, here's your dreams smell bad, I wrote.
Your dreams smell bad to me. They stink.
What?
I'm sorry, I've got a little nighttime flatulence. Sorry about that.
You smell wet.
That's the same. You're just dreaming along. Oh, what's that smell? That's weird. All right, here's okay, I saved the grossest sounding eating noises for the end.
Okay.
And so here you go. Oh, gosh dang it, dude. What are you doing? That's when he was licking his wife's pie off her face. That was gross.
Yeah.
Not good. What does Ving Rhames say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Arby's. Go to Arby's.
We have the meats.
The meats. All right, that's the end of your clips. That means checklist time. Silly and obvious fat suit, check. Solve the whole thing by not letting the old guy touch your damn face. That would have worked, check. And finally, slingshots are not that powerful, check. Although I guess right. Dunaway does not agree with me on that. He thinks they're
I love
him. Oh, yeah. And like that was really effective for me because he was super skinny now. Mm-hmm. So he's all weak and his skin is all tight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, which is not how that works, by the way. Mm-mm. 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 No, if you're really fat and you suddenly lose a lot of weight, you're not going to be all like,
no, you'd be
there's going to be skin hanging everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's going to be disgusting.
Yeah, it would have been bad.
And that's definitely something you do on the reboot.
Yeah, yep, big time. Yep. DJ Qualls, get ready for your close up. I wrote here Trek stuff. Time Winters is the prosecutor in this thing. He on TNG played Glyn Darrow in the episode The Wounded. I don't have any context for that though. I don't know what that character did, but Glyn Darrow. Yeah, they're a great world music band. They travel.
Always, I'm looking in the.
Always looking for Glyn Darrow out there.
Darrow, yeah.
Soundtrack grade, I'd give it a KTBL for kind of Tim Burton like. It was it was fine, but it felt out of place just slightly. A little goofy for what the movie was supposed to be.
It was filmed entirely in Maine, and it kind of looked like it.
Well, it was filmed in Maine, but set in Connecticut, which is, I know that far.
Which is fine by me.
Yeah, it's fine. But it's unusual for Stephen King to set his stories in other places outside of Maine.
Yeah.
So when he does, it's a little bit weird. I mean, at least...
Well, you know, he is Dr. Bangor.
Yeah, that's true. Dr. Bangor over there. They had to make sure to squeeze in as much of that reference as they could. Mm-hmm. But I like it when he ventures out. Like, he starts... The stand starts in Maine, but it ends up in Vegas, and it's awesome where it ends up.
Some Boulder, Colorado in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Boulder's huge in that. Forgot about that. The old ladies there and stuff.
That's Boulder is huge.
I love the stand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, there's that. How about this alternate? Ooh, look at this. Alternate titles. It's sort of like Brian's, but it's not exactly. So first alternate title is Scanners, and the final one is Winner, Winner, Dude Got Thinner. So that's my version of it.
That's not bad.
Emails. We got one from Jose, who says, I think it's time for you to sack something from M. Night Shyamalan.
Whoa. We got to do our Twitter post.
Oh, I didn't even do those yet. How did I skip that? It's the Twitter post, everybody. Before I do alternate title, normally it's like I've never done this show before.
White man from show notes.
Let's start with Randy.
Stephen King's Thinner. Spoiler alert: everyone dies, and you're going to be glad in the end. But mainly, you'll just be glad to have reached the end.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Good post. By the way, we don't have to include Twitter handles in our Twitter posts anymore, so it doesn't eat up characters. So now it's even easier. Brian Dunaway.
Thinner, like Stephen King poking your mook eyes out and shoving a chicken down your gullet. Hey, is that Ready Whip?
Yes, it was Ready Whip.
Was it Ready
Whip? All over that car.
It might have been shaving cream because Ready Whip melts under lights in Hollywood.
I prefer to believe it was Ready Whip.
Yeah.
Boy, the dude they hire to keep an eye on the gypsies, man, he just gets murdered quick.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he seemed nice. Like I've seen him somewhere.
He seemed nice. Larry Mook.
Yeah, Larry Mook.
Prostitute.
What was his name? Spuncher or something weird?
It
was
store prostitute.
Nice. That wasn't Spuncher. It was something like that.
It was something weird like Spunker or Budley or it was something stupid because I was like, really?
He's in other stuff. I looked him up. He's been in other things, but he struck me as he outclassed the movie a little bit in a weird way, even though he hardly did anything. Something about him seemed like he was better than this. So I couldn't figure out what that was, but where were we? Oh, yeah.
Frank Spurton.
Spurton, that's it. Spurton.
Yeah. Spurton. Spurton. All right. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I have a friend who used to do commercials for food. Like he did Denny's commercials. And anytime whipped cream needed to be shown, they would use shaving cream because it was better under the lights.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because whipped cream would just melt like in a heartbeat.
By the way, that guy is the Mook is Josh Holland, Tom Holland's son.
Oh. What?
Oh, really?
Nice.
Now that is some trivia.
Yeah.
And his other trivia here, son of Tom Holland, has recorded a 6-song album for the Solid Music Company, lives in Los Angeles, owns 2 rescued cats. His 2 best friends are Ryan Philippe and Brecken Meyer.
It's starting to get a little weak near the end. Exactly. So I got to fill this out. He's got some cats and some friends.
Cousin of Dexter Holland.
Oh.
From Everclear? No. From
what?
Dexter Holland. From Offspring.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
They're wild. Cousins. Oh. Gotta keep them separated. That's what they always say about those two cousins. Gotta keep them separated. Yeah. Get it? Keep them separated. Get it? That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, then there's this last guy. It's Brian Ibbett, everybody. What do you got there?
I'm sorry. I've got a cat here. Thinner. Thinner, thinner, not a winner. I'm no Nipsey. Gary Wurr is a gypsy.
Nice. No, we all did good variations on the winner, winner thing. Yeah, I think that's fun.
Totally did.
It's totally fun. All right. Now,
by the way,
emails.
Before you get to the email. Yeah. We talked a little bit about, again, you know, carrying, taking us back and putting some closure on my gypsy story that I told last week on TMS. I was talking to Tina about it after I talked about it on TMS. And just to catch people up if they don't listen to TMS, when Tina and I were in the UK, we went out to Stonehenge, and you stop off in a city called Salisbury before you go to Stonehenge. And while Salisbury. We were there, a woman asked me for money, came up and asked me for money. I said I wouldn't give her any money, and then she put a curse on me.
What?
And, yes. And Tina says, well, yeah, you remember what happened next, don't you? I said, no. She says, you gave her $20.
No, that's too funny.
You did?
Thank you for your curse.
I totally gave her $20 to lift the curse.
Did you really?
Dude.
That is too funny.
I love that. I didn't know. Oh, that's so great that you got that update from her. The curse was you wouldn't remember giving her the money. That's what it was. That was the curse.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the curse. You'll forget you gave me money.
I love that.
You'll keep giving me money.
I love that one of us on this show has been cursed by an actual quote-unquote gypsy.
Yeah, right. But yes. You didn't have to eat no pie. Did you give us pie? You gave us pie last year.
I had shepherd's pie like half an hour before I saw it.
Oh, I'm glad it was before, not after. That could have been blood pie. Actually, the deal is with the curse, couldn't he have just... That's just to remove the curse.
Right.
Well,
or
you could have eaten the pie
until you give it to somebody else, though, probably, right? Because
Well, no, it actually removed immediately. It was in
the pie.
Well,
then he could have just shoved the pie down the garbage disposal.
I didn't understand why he had to keep the pie. Because he instantly started getting better.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And then that guy, because the doctor, Dr. Jimmy or whatever his name was, came over. Dr. Tim, what was it? Dr.
Jimmy's here. Jimmy wants some pie. You got some pie?
Jimmy likes pie. All right.
Jimmy's been sampling some pie ever since you've been gone.
Your wife's pie is delicious.
Yes. Moving on from that, Jose says in emails, I think it's time for you to sack something from M. Night Shyamalan. Please do The Last Airbender. I love you guys. No. Saludos de Sede Puerto Rico from Jose.
Right.
Boy, if we're going to do anything from M. Night Shyamalan, I wouldn't expect The Last Airbender to be the choice.
Yeah.
I want something bad.
I'm not there.
Now, I will say this. Tina and I watched Split last night.
I hear it's amazing.
It is amazing. And I am going to say that if you are a fan of his early stuff, Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, for sure, then you will absolutely like this.
I'm stoked to finally see. I've stayed total spoiler free as well. So I'm excited about that.
Devil was good.
It was partially spoiled for me, and actually, I'll be honest, that made me want to see it even more.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Well, there are studies. There's scientific studies that say that spoilers actually drive us to want to, even though we deny it. So,
yeah,
I think you're probably fulfilling that.
It's like telling me that chocolate's going to be good. I know it's going to be good.
I don't want to see, like, The Happening. I don't want to see The Lady in the Water.
But we're a bunch of comic nerds. I think we need to watch Unbreakable.
We're a bunch
of comic nerds.
Yes, but I love Unbreakable.
You know what? That's true. You know, we were going to watch Usual Suspects, and that's a good film. So we all think that Unbreakable is good, don't we?
Yeah, I'd watch it again, I guess. I watched that movie all the time.
I actually watched Unbreakable. I mean, Usual Suspects this past week. Anyway.
Unbreakable is amazing.
Screw you, Netflix.
Yeah, F you, Netflix.
Thanks a lot. I guess it really does depend on what's streaming currently.
Yeah. But all right. Oh yeah, that one's fine. Also,
I think Lady in the Water will be really good. It is such a slow burn. It's better than The Village.
Wait, which one of these have I not seen? I've not seen one of those. I can't remember which one.
I've seen all of them.
Yeah,
I think Signs would be the most fun. Speaking of nerds, but I think it's been done to death. Right?
Yeah, Signs have been done to death. I think I'm coming around on this idea that Unbreakable is the one for us to do. I think there's a lot there.
And it was streaming not too long ago, I believe.
Everything of his is streaming on Lady in the Water, Happening, Unbreakable, The Visit, and The Sixth Sense, all streaming on HBO, nothing streaming on Netflix.
What's The Visit? The hell's that?
Ooh, The Visit. That was the one where he has his the grandma comes or something.
Yeah, they go to grandma's house, right, two years ago.
Is that supposed to be good?
A couple years ago. I've heard it's all right.
Okay.
Eight.
It's eight.
Eight.
All right. It's not last. That's not
the, yeah, I was thinking, I was confusing that one with the one called Mama.
Oh.
Right. Where
right.
It's another little horror story with Grandma's visit.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any M Night on.
Did I just hear a whiskey bottle? Someone just like throw back a swig or something.
Whiskey. It was actually water. Oh. Sorry about that.
Well, if there's anybody in the four of us who's a whiskey drinker, I think I can point towards the right person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing. No M Night streaming on Netflix. So let's just keep an eye on that. And the first, we'll just make it roulette. The first M Night that
Did
streams
anyone
on
send us,
Netflix.
Some M. Night Shyamalan?
I don't think
no.
so.
No. No, we've got, and we have a ton of stuff. People
yeah, we got to watch these damn discs that we keep getting. We're going to get
these damn discs.
Yeah, it's not that we don't want to when people send them, and they're always like, oh, it's been a year. And I'm like, it's not because we don't want to. It's just, it's this flow. It's hard to remember to stick them in there and make it happen. Yeah. And anyway, it's hard.
But we'll, the films must flow.
Yeah.
Some of us occasionally lose one or another. And
Yeah,
I'm not pointing any fingers at myself.
No,
but.
No. But we'll rip one. You know, I mean, there's ways to do it. It's just not as simple as like, oh, here's a Netflix thing, boop, and we're in.
Right.
So it's just complicated. Anyway,
here's the stuff I have.
People watching it have to have those discs too. So
yeah,
or have to have.
Which shouldn't be hard because most of these you just go dive in the bins at Walmart. Have fun.
Yeah, like the one with the babysitting Hulk Hogan movie that we needed to see.
Suburban Commando.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
That's a disc we've been sent, and I'll bet people can find that anywhere.
Didn't we not already watch that one?
No, we watched the one where we watched that other one. We've only seen one Hulk Hogan movie, and it was pretty bad. And it was the one where he
I could smell your pee in your pants.
That's the one we saw. That's right, but yeah. not the sex tape. We haven't seen.
No, we have not seen the sex tape, right. And I'm okay. gonna be glad about
okay
that.
Okay with that.
The amazing Terry sent an email in also. He starts it with Scott Brian Randy, all one word. Just noticed, I guess if you pronounce that, it'd be Scott Bri. No, it spells right.
You just do it fast.
Yeah, Scott Brian Randy. Just right. noticed that the ever sackable Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension is streaming on Amazon Prime. Is there, if there is a movie that's more perfect for FilmSec, I don't know what it is. Thanks, stay in school, the amazing Terry. Well, Terry, we don't normally go into the whole Prime Video thing, although I think that's a great place. I actually sometimes prefer it over everything else, but it's a matter of, I don't know, we just are such Netflix nerds that it's just easy to say, well, if it's on Netflix, that's the one we do, because everyone seems to have Netflix. There's a ubiquity to Netflix that all the other services don't have. But I mean, if this is the only way we're ever going to get Buckaroo Banzai, I'd be okay with it.
Mm-hmm. That's another thing. Part of the reason that we don't venture into other services is because we have a pretty good idea. If we just hold out long enough, Netflix will get us there.
Yeah. Right. Well, the good news is on Buckaroo Banzai is Amazon right now, Hulu and Epix.
Oh, Hulu has it as well? Interesting.
Yeah, in addition to that, that's a pretty wide spectrum.
That's not bad. Plus, you can rent it. So maybe that one would slip through. But part of and you might be saying to yourselves, well, geez, you know, everyone has Prime. True. The States is lots of people have Prime. Internationally, it's less so. And that's the problem. Whereas Netflix has got a ubiquity internationally that isn't quite up to, or, you know, Netflix is
right.
doing it better or has a more broad base. So that's the only reason. But knowing that. Well, it's irritating that it's not on Netflix at all, because if it's on those other two, then what the hell? But whatever. Buckaroo Banzai, maybe we make that jump. But that movie, I don't remember a damn thing about it.
No.
It has not aged well.
No.
The jokes
very young,
the jokes
Jeff Goldblum. And,
yeah.
Isn't it? I thought it was, I always get Ice Pirates in this mixed up. There's no connection.
Yeah,
right?
And we have Ice Pirates. Didn't somebody send us Ice Pirates?
Yes.
No. Yeah, we did. Really? We got Ice Pirates right here.
We got the discs. Someone sent us discs, but we haven't sacked it yet, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ice Pirates and Buckaroo Banzai always seem to be brought up. We will absolutely do them the second that makes the most sense. And maybe that one does. I don't know. We'll talk about it off air, but we'll figure it out. Our next film is Around the World in 80 Days with Jackie Chan and that dude from what made that movie with Dame Judy Dench. I can't think of his name.
That mook with the Dame.
What's his name?
There's a ton of people in this film.
Steve Coogan. Well, the main people are those two.
Right, the main people, yeah. But there's Jim Broadbent, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Kathy Bates, John Cleese, Owen Wilson, Luke Wilson, Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider, the worst living human.
I agree.
Really sad that he's in this movie.
I agree. I hate him. I can't
but he made El King.
Yeah, but she's great, and she should just distance herself from her horrible father. That's what should happen there.
He's not the worst person.
X's and O's.
The Grouch Man, the Grouchinator, Jordan.
Just hearing you do it makes me want to.
Oh, wow.
So, wait a minute, though. This is the one where this is famous because this was Schwarzenegger's last acting gig before taking the governorship. And then wouldn't act for the entire governorship, I think.
Did you hold up your little quotey fingers when you said acting gig?
I may have held up my quotey fingers, yes. I like that they're called quotey fingers.
Now, did you do them 70 style where you got your knuckles turned down, or did you?
Always 70 style. Always. All right. That's how my dad typed,
knuckles,
by the way.
Knuckles turned down. Hold on a second.
When my dad typed, he always typed birds only and total right. 70s finger knuckles down.
The you know what I'm talking time. About, Ibbit? Because some people bend their fingers at the largest or the first knuckle, and some of people just kind of wave the fingers forward.
I do my quotey fingers like I'm standing in front of a clothesline and I'm resting tips of my fingers over the.
Everyone does that.
Okay.
Everyone does that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
There's no other quotey fingers.
Well, there's two quotey fingers. I'm telling you.
There's outliers. Tell us about the other one. What's the other one?
Send us a video, Brian.
Yeah.
All right. I'll show the examples.
Yeah, I want to know what the other.
Demonstrate the two types of quotey fingers.
Do you guys, when you guys do quotey fingers, do you do the motion of like moving your
fingers? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're definitely flicking the fingers. Yeah, okay. For sure.
All right. And you move
the fingers and the hand like in an exaggerated way, like Chris Farley when I'm
right. friendly face.
Right. Do you dip your elbows is the question. Do you dip, yes. dip them down?
Definitely dip the elbows. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't realize there's so much nuance in doing quotey fingers.
You should see how much nuance there is in Hook'em Horns. Oh, yeah, my gosh.
No kidding.
Somebody should do a quotey fingers infographic.
Oh, like yeah. That. Yeah.
Then a I'd Venn like diagram where it crosses over with people who throw the bird and which way they do it. That'd right. be great.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Yeah. Where do those two groups meet? But if you didn't do the downward motion, then you're just given two peace signs. You look like some damn hippie, right?
No, right. No. You definitely do the downward motion on your fingers, like the little.
But not your elbows.
But the elbows are where there's a question. So you can either do deet deet deet, and you're just flicking your little fingers, or you go bump ba bump, and you're moving the elbows too.
Either deet 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 or bump ba bump. I got it.
Yeah, I got it too. I think that was the greatest thing I ever heard. All right.
You understood it exactly.
Anyway, Around the World in 80 Days. That's coming up. In the meantime, go to the website, filmsack.com, communicate, talk, chat. We got all kinds of stuff happening on the blog, so go there, filmsack.com. You can also leave us emails at filmsack@gmail.com. Big thanks to everyone who does. Follow us on Twitter @FilmSack and leave us reviews wherever you find your podcast. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
That guy in a skinny wife. That guy in a skinny wife.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
There you go.